All right. Chapter 7. Still looking at characteristics of breakthrough believers. Tonight we're going to look at characteristic 5. Moved under subjection to spiritual authority. Now, breakthrough believers have the ability to move under subjection to spiritual authority, breaking the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft while restoring the honor of spiritual leadership function. An ability to yield to God's appointed and delegated authority speaks of being submissive and teachable. In the scripture, let's look at a few things here, because I think that here it'll be good for us to look at a few scriptures about spiritual authority so that we can really understand how a lot of times I think that rebellion many times comes from ignorance. I don't think all the time it's because people are stubborn or people just don't want to do the right thing. It's because they're unlearned and they don't understand. So in Genesis 9, I want to look at this situation with Noah and his sons. I want to look at a few situations here, because I think that as being, you know, the second year class and graduating, we really need to know how to really be submitted to leadership. You can never be an authority until you learn to submit to authority. Never. You can never. God will never trust you. And if you become an authority, if you come an authority, it's because you manipulated your way in that position. But because you have not really understood it, you won't be able to remain there long. You with me? Now it says here in the 20th, in the 9th verse of Genesis, and the 20th verse, it said, and Noah began to be a husbandman. You know, you're talking about a farmer. And he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told it to his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both of their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what the younger son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. Now, the lesson here is, many times when a person is operating in rebellion, they look for an opportunity for people that are in authority, those that are in authority, leadership, they look for a fault. Let me tell you something. If you look for fault in people, I don't care who they are, you're going to find it. You always find fault. Now, the way that Noah's son did, it was wrong. Now, many times people say, well, wasn't it wrong for Noah to be drunk? Of course it was. But it was not up to Noah's son to reprimand him for his action. So what he did was, the first thing that he did, he went outside of the tent and he began to tell his brothers about his father's nakedness. In other words, the brother that, the younger brother should have covered the father, but it was the older brothers that covered him. In other words, whenever, I believe this with all of my heart, is that if, whenever you fall in leadership and something that you don't agree with, the best thing for you to do, if if you don't have enough spirituality to talk to God about it, where God can give you a revelation, the best thing to do is leave. Leave and not really, you know, not put your mouth on them. And it's because, now I'm going to look at Numbers also, because I want to look at Aaron and Miriam for a minute. And I want you to see how they were. Let's turn in and look at it. Numbers 12. Numbers chapter 12. It said, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because he had an Ethiopian, Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. You know, Ethiopian, that was a black woman, right? And they said, had the Lord indeed spoke only by Moses? Hath he not spoke also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, it don't sound like they were saying much, but it was a lot to what they were saying. Because what they were saying was, they were trying to use Moses. The real problem was they thought they were equal with Moses. They were just using his black wife as an excuse. That's like, you know, sometimes somebody may not like you. You understand what I'm saying? And they say, well, I don't like you because of this. But it's probably something underlying that they don't like you because it's usually not the thing that they say they don't like you because of. You understand what I'm saying? So here, Aaron and Miriam, man, they went to talking against Moses and that sort of thing and stuff. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's a violation of God. Rebellion, anybody in the Bible, all over the Bible, you'll never find why somebody who rebelled got away with it. You will never escape the radar of God. You know, when you are operating in rebellious attitude, rebellious, you know, you have rebellious behavior, you will always pay the price for your rebellion. Always, always in scripture. All right, so, but it said the Lord heard it. So that means that there is no way that you can, I don't care how many, you can go three-way, you can go four-way, you know, on the telephone line. God gonna hear every one of the conversation. I don't care how many people you hook up with, you can be on a conference call. You understand what I'm saying? And when you begin to talk about leadership, God gonna hear it. Y'all with me? Now, the purpose of submission. See, this is why it's so important that you respect the person who God has placed you under, because submission is really 100% the submitter's will. They have to will to submit to that person. In other words, all right, what I follow apostle has nothing to do with my following him. I have everything to do with it. It is, I will to do this. You with me? He's not doing anything to force me to follow him. See, authority cannot be forced on you. Authority, you following authority is something that you have to willfully do. First of all, because you understand God's government and God's plan and how God does things. And so many times in the church at large, so many people don't understand. See, you can really be gifted. You can really be talented. And many times you can think that because you have a gift and a talent, that the person God has placed you under, that you may know more than that person. You with me? But the thing about it is, it's not about that. It's about how God has set it up. God has really set that person in your life as a covering. So Moses was really, he was a covering. Now, Moses was the youngest of his siblings, of Aaron and Miriam. That was it. That was Miriam was an intercessor. So she had been interceding for Moses for a long time. And a lot of times when a person been interceding for you and God is doing things in your life, they think that they're responsible for that. So Miriam really thought that she really had an upper hand on Moses because she was an intercessor. And so when this went down like this, God had to get them straight. God said, hold on, look what he said. Bible say, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. He said, come out, you three of the tabernacle. So he's calling them out of the congregation. He said, y'all come out here. Y'all come out. Come on, because I need to talk to all three of y'all. You understand? So now Miriam and Aaron, they think that, okay, all right, God is getting ready to get Moses straight. I'm glad we have this opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? But they didn't realize that God was getting ready to set them straight. You with me? So he says, and three came out, and the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. Look what he says. He said, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. In other words, he said, me and Moses got a different relationship than I have with y'all. And so it didn't mean that God couldn't talk to them, but now I have structured government. I have put your younger brother as the authority here. And so you think that this is still family. This still got to do. No. This is a whole lot higher than family. This is a whole lot higher than the relative thing. This has to do with the will of God, the purposes of God. And so what they were doing was they weren't going against Moses. They were going against God. Y'all with me? So the Lord went ahead and talked to him and stuff. But then it said, ninth verse, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and they departed, and the cloud departed from our tabernacle. Then it said Miriam became lepers, white as snow. So the Lord said, Miriam, since you don't like black, I'll make you so white you're not going to like white. So she was leper. Now, watch this now. Now, this is an important lesson right here. When Aaron saw that, look what he says. And Aaron said unto Moses, Allah is my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. So for them to rebel was a sin wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. And then it went on there, but this is what I want you to see. 14th verse said, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Because see, Aaron is pleading for. Now Moses started praying for. Bible said 13th verse. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And then in the 14th verse it said, and the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should not she be ashamed 7 days? So it said, let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received again. All right. So now, this is very important. Now, the reason why she had to be shut out is because leprosy was contagious. So just like rebellion is, when a person starts rebelling, and if they are not put out, or they are not put, she was put in quarantine so that she couldn't contaminate the other folk. You have to be careful of people who have become disgruntled or something like that, because they'll begin to talk to you, and then for you know it, that spirit will be on you. And all of a sudden, the person who you trusted that was leading you, all of a sudden you got questions. You with me? All of a sudden, watch this. It's a trick of the enemy. Once you, once you get corrected, once you get reprimanded, then all of a sudden, the thing that you heard, all of a sudden now, you start looking at that person different. You say, well, you know, they tried to tell me this. You know, I should have left this church a long time ago. You know, all kind of Satan just messing with your head. You understand what I'm saying? And God is trying to, first of all, you got to always look at your leader's track record. All right? All right? You got to look at how much they've loved you, how much they poured into your life. And so just because you got corrected, that doesn't mean they didn't love you. And so that's what the enemy tries to. Man, if we can come to a place, and I think that this generation and that's functioning under this apostolic mantle, I think, man, it's gonna be an explosion. Like Peter and them, man, they was turning the place upside down. I believe the same thing gonna happen when we get a hold of that and understand that we can't have people in our life that's just gonna baby us all the time, that's gonna have pity parties with us and that kind of thing and stuff. We got to be able to grow up and understand. So it says we have to have an ability to yield to God's appointed and delegate authority. It speaks of being submissive and teachable. When God assigns apostolic men to the places where God's move had already begun, the local company of believers must learn to yield to these sent men so that God can take the church further through them. So we need to build a clear paradigm concerning covering and authority into the minds of breakthrough believers. All spiritual authority stems out of the senior pastor in the local church. Their delegated authority is a specific measure of authority within the sphere of responsibility and role function. So, you know, that's just like a pastor can give a person the authority to carry out a certain thing, and the members have to look at that person who the pastor has delegated authority to. He had to look at the members had to look at that person as if that was the pastor standing up giving the instructions. You with me? So once we really understand, this now, another time in scripture, I don't want to go to it, but David and Saul and David, Saul was the king. David had a post-dated anointing, you know, like you do a post-dated check, you know, and, you know, it's not going to be no good. So, you know, keep this to the 15th. Well, David had a post-dated anointing. In other words, David had been anointed, but he had not, it wasn't time for him to reign yet. So, Saul, David was crafty. David could play the harp. David was a man of war. David fought in Saul's army, you know, and that sort of thing and stuff. But, and then they went to war one time, and the women started singing a song. They say, Saul has killed his thousand, but David killed 10,000. Now, for the king to hear that, you with me? For to hear that. Now, so Saul gets upset. He's jealous because now they're shouting David's praise. But the thing about it was David knew his place. He knew that Saul was the king. So Saul got after David, tried to kill him. And in that he was trying to kill him and that sort of thing, David had an opportunity. He went in the cave, and the Bible said that Saul was relieving himself. In other words, it said that Saul's clothes was on his feet. That means that Saul was using the bathroom. So while Saul is in the cave relieving himself, David goes in. He has an opportunity to kill him. But David does not kill him because David says, how can I put my hand against God's anointed and be guiltless? So watch this. David, because now David has already been anointed to be king, but it's not time for his reign yet, right? But if David had killed Saul so that he can get the throne, then he would have wound up reaping what he sowed. In other words, instead of him allowing God to promote him, he would have been promoting himself. And that's what happened to a lot of folk. They try to promote themselves. And when they try to promote themselves, how many of you know they make a big mess of things. And then I've seen people try to promote themselves, and it looked like for a while things were working for them. But and it's because, see, back then, whenever a person was rebellion, I mean, God would, judgment would come on them. But we live in a dispensation of grace now, so God is not striking folk down like he was doing back then. You understand? God give us a chance to repent. All right? Watch this. Look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see that? All right. So because when a person does something rebellious, because judgment is not, it does not happen speedily, then all of a sudden they think they've gotten away with it. And so they get more in their minds, they get more entrenched in doing the wrong thing because it looks like everything's working for them. But it's just a matter of time before, you know, God really reprimand them for their behavior. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's another scripture I want you to see in Numbers. Now, if you're a rebellious person, then you just repent and get it right. In these scriptures, you just need to, you know, you need to meditate on them. And look at the 16th chapter. 16th chapter of Numbers. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. I want to read it from the Amplified Bible because the Amplified Bible is really, not the Amplified, the Message Bible. Watch this. Yeah, number 16, that's it. In verse 3 it says, they came as a group and confronted Moses and Aaron, saying, you've overstepped yourselves. This entire, now this is a committee that has gotten together, and they come into them. Matter of fact, in that second verse, it talks about he had with him, this when the son of Peleth, rebelled against Moses, and he had with him 250 leaders of the congregation of Israel, prominent men with position in the council. They came as a group and confronted Moses and Aaron, saying, you've overstepped yourselves. Then he said, this entire community is holy, and God is in their midst. So why do you act like you're running the whole show? Now, God put them in authority, but now they got, because they've got position and because they've got numbers, it does not mean that the majority is always right. God is always right. And if you're on God's side, guess what? You always come out on top. So they're coming against Moses, right? So he says, they ask him, Moses, why in the world he overstepped himself? He said, on hearing this, Moses threw himself face down on the ground. Moses said, oh, Lord. Moses said, y'all don't know what y'all doing. Then he addressed Korah and his gang. In the morning, God will make clear who is on his side, who is holy. God will take his stand with the one he chooses. He said, now, Korah, here's what I want you and your gang to do. Tomorrow, take censers in the presence of God, put fire in them, and incense. Then we'll see who is holy, see whom God chooses.
Moses continued, with Korah, listen well, now sons of Levi, isn't it enough that God has, the God of Israel has selected you out of
bring you near to him, to serve him in the ministries of dwelling of the dwellings of God, and to stand before the congregation to minister to him. It said, and he has brought you and your brother Levites, his inner circle, and now you're grasping for the priesthood too. It's God you've ganged up against. You see that? He said, it's God you've ganged up against, not us. What do you have against Aaron that you're bad mouthing him? God are the Dotham and Abiram's sons, Eliab, to appear, but they said, we're not coming. They said, we're not coming. We are not coming. They called for them. They said, we're not coming. So they have a rebellious nation. So Moses and them were letting them know, you're really not coming against us. You're coming against God. That's why.
I've seen many people who have come against apostles. I've seen it over the years. People who come against apostles. And because apostles ain't gonna fight, he never fight back. You know, he real strong and that kind of thing and stuff. But people come against me, they start praying for me. And it's a dangerous thing to really mess with a person that's praying. If they're praying for you, you know, when you're doing them wrong, you know, because now, if a person retaliates, then God hold back his hand. Because the Bible said, vengeance belongs to me, I'll repay. So God said, whenever you get involved with it, then I'll step back. But I've seen people who rebel against apostles and said all kind of things and that kind of thing. It's the thing that has gotten me for years about people. When you train people for years and people have said, you know, sitting in the ministry and that kind of thing and stuff, and then it got to
that the pastor was holding them back. I ought to be further than this. I ought to be, well, first of all, see, watch this. There have been people who think the apostle's job to, you know, if somebody's in ministry or whatever and stuff, for him to send them out. People want, you know, him to send them out. And sometimes people try to put pressure on you to make you send them out. But how in the world are you going to do something God didn't tell you to do? So sometimes people find themselves, you know, they've been sitting in the ministry and that kind of thing and stuff. And all of a sudden, they find themselves, you know, they get impatient and they feel like, you know, they see what he's doing. They feel like I can do this too, and they wind up, you know, going, getting out of the will of God and getting in trouble with God. Now, one more scripture I want to show.
Jesus said the man had great faith. because he understood authority. So this man's faith was great because this man told Jesus, "You just speak the word. See, I know how authority works. You don't have to come into my house and that kind of thing and stuff because I have men under me. Because I understand that, just speak the word. I know that my servant will be healed." Jesus said, "Great faith you have." So could it be that a lot of times our faith is not really working because we don't really understand authority? We don't understand how to submit to authority. And when we don't understand how to submit to authority, then how many know God cannot release the supernatural and think, and we got to get these things in place because the pastor talking about the supernatural and that sort of thing and stuff, and God is a supernatural God. We have to understand how this government works, how this thing operates, and that sort of thing and stuff, because one of the things that the Lord said to me, and that was, the Lord said, the Lord asked him, he said, "What did you learn? What did you learn to follow me?" And so I thought about some people that I followed years prior, and then he said to me, he said, remember the scripture that says that the children of Israel knew the acts of Moses, knew God's ways. Mm-hmm. I understand that. He said, well, the children of Israel, they rejoiced at the acts of God. Well, Moses spent time with God. He knew God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
The acts can't produce the ways, but the ways can produce the acts.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said to me, he said, now, if you're gonna learn how, if you're gonna follow me closely, you got to follow how the one you're following is following you. I'm being honest. I'm not putting nobody down. I follow men who, on Saturday, they lock themselves up and, get a word from God for the congregation on Sunday. And for years I used to do that because I thought that that was the way to get a word from God. And my pastor, years back, that's what he did. And so, then when I started following the pastor, I saw man
hungry for God, just going after God. And so God had to say to me, he said, now, okay, the way that you're going to really learn how to really follow me, you got to learn the way that the man that you're following is following me. Now, somebody may say, well, I don't need nobody, because I can follow God for myself. I didn't say you couldn't follow God for yourself. I said you got to watch the person who you're following, how they're following God. And so so the Lord, the Lord just showed me, if you read the scripture where
Jesus would depart from the disciples early in the morning before the daybreak. Jesus would, by the time the disciples would have gotten up from their rest or out of bed, Jesus was already somewhere
behind a bush somewhere. See?
And so so the Lord said, all right, Jesus was, when the disciples found, Jesus was praying. So now, have you ever wondered why the disciples never asked Jesus, show us how you do these miracles? They never said, show us how you open these blind eyes. They never said, show us how you get these people to walk. Do you know they never asked that question? They never asked him to teach them that. Why? Because when they would find Jesus, Jesus was communicating with the Father. So Jesus was training them how to follow God. So now, Jesus would, he would go to certain places and stuff, man blind, Jesus said, receive thy sight, and the man, Jesus pick up some mud, put in the man's eyes and stuff, and tell him to go wash, and the man come back seeing, and that sort of thing and stuff. But the disciples never asked him how to do that. Because the only thing, what they asked him? Lord, teach us to pray. Because they know what was causing the supernatural to happen was Jesus spending time with the Father. So they would not have known how to seek the Father unless they watched how Jesus sought the Father. So the way that you learn how to follow God is you watch the person who is who you are following, and then the person that you're following. You understand what I'm saying? So I saw how Apostle was, just wearing Bibles out, just studying, just praying, just seeking God. And so, watch this. Sometimes you can be following a person and you know that they're doing a lot of praying and that kind of thing and stuff, and you think that, okay, you know, because that's your leader, then that's what they're supposed to be doing. No, they're teaching you what you're supposed to be doing. That's how you're supposed to be following God. So if you're a part of LTMA, Word of Life, and you're not following God the way,
then you are missing what God is trying to teach you. You're missing it. That's the whole purpose for him seeking God the way he's done. And man, I wanted to call and I say, man, why in the world I've been all these years and stuff, you know, following other people and stuff, and they having this casual relationship with God, and then, you know, and here, you know, I've been following that foolishness. I'm just being honest. You understand what I'm saying? But thank God. Hallelujah. I say thank God for the apostle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Folks can say whatever they want to say about me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm locked in. You know, this is not just something that, this is my life. This is my life. This is, I'm committed. Let me ask y'all this question. Anybody talk to y'all? Okay. Anybody talk to you all about graduation, how we usually do it, how we usually honor Apostle and Mom? This class, anybody talk to y'all about that? Oh, y'all talked about it? Okay. All right. I'm not sure what last year the graduates did. I'm not sure. I can't remember what they did, but I know they did good. And what we want to do is, you know, even instructors, we honor them. We honor them with a gift because this school is just a blessing, man. And I don't think that, you know, people who graduate, even the alumni, those who have graduated, you know, they participate in honoring, you know, the apostle. Now, watch this, y'all. This is not something that they're asking us to do. This is something that we know is proper. And so, since we know the proper thing to do is honor them, so we're asking you all to, you know, to do the best y'all can. I mean, don't dishonor them by just giving them anything. Give them something, you know, that speaks of what you receive. Now, the Bible talks about, sharing with those that teach you, and that sort of thing and stuff. So there has to be a reciprocation. He's been pouring out to us and stuff, and somebody may say that, you know, well, we're paying for school and that tuition and that kind of thing and stuff.